Okay, you are very welcome along to the second hour of the 9 till noon show. And over the course of the next 2 hours, we're going to be engaging on our first election debate as we gear up for Friday. It's hard to believe it's Friday that everyone will be going out to vote, hopefully. And over the next 3 days, as I mentioned, we have three panels of guests and all seeking your votes. So what we might do is give each of our guests this morning a chance, I suppose, for you to know who's here, but for them to sort of explain why they believe you should vote for them. And we're going to be in and around a minute. I'll cut across if it runs on too long, but we'll not be too tough on yous either. So we'll say a very good morning first to Pat the Cope Gallagher of Fianna Fáil. Pat the Cope, why do you believe people should vote for you in this general election?
Well, I'm one who has considerable experience at both local, national and European level over many years. Haven't been in the Dáil for the last 4.5 years. In fact, I have been working quietly over those 4.5 years on behalf of people who made contact with me. And while I lost my seat, I didn't lose my contacts. And I have a seamless period now, going back into the 80s. I have a lot of experience, I have a lot of contacts, and I do believe that if elected, I can hit the ground running and deal with the many issues that are affecting our county here in Donegal.
Yeah, we'll run through those issues, of course, as we go through this morning. Arthur Desmond McGuinness, running as an independent. Why you? Why should people vote for you?
Eh? That's because Greg, I've been in this game since I was about 10 years old over the anti-Brady, right? And we went out to canvassing, and my father told me, right? He's dead now, but I spent a lot of time in it. I love politics, right? I grew up with it, yeah. I'm from a great family. You know, I have two brothers, and your mum, oh, she's 90, right? And we're very Catholic, and we're down the air, so. So as well, if you like me, I'll do my best for you.
Okay. Well, we'll come back and hear much more from you, of course. Frank O'Donnell, running as an independent also.
Yeah, I'm very active in politics all my life. I'm a community activist. I was a senior shop steward for 20 years in the Kinnear University Hospital. I know the thrust of what is expected of politicians to fight for and lobby on behalf of their constituents. So while at University Hospital in Errakinney, I was there. I wore a T-shirt fighting for the rights of the colleagues. So I don't think this is a step up. I'm used to the cut and thrust of politics, and I think I can give something back to the community that has been deprived of all services. We are a first. We're meant to be one of the richest countries in Europe, and if we took a measurement on the services, we would be the last in Europe. So it's about time people like myself and independents like myself said enough is enough. So that's why I put myself forward.
Yeah, indeed. And thank you very much for calling in to us. Jerry McKeever.
Thanks, Greg. Good morning. I'm independent candidate Jerry McKeever. I caught Greg's 9 to 12 show last Friday, and I think it was Eamon McGee who said that he was yet to hear a candidate talk about a vision for Ireland. From the start, my campaign, my policies have been about my vision. I want to see an Ireland that our young don't want or need to leave, an Ireland, a home that our immigrants can come back to. My vision revolves around a housing policy that does not regard 300,000 plus as affordable. Within this policy, it can mean 160,000. This is not fanciful. The technology is there now. And other European countries are embracing this concept of affordable homes. Make Ireland an affordable country living again. Fix our defective block disaster. tackle our cost of living crisis, tackle our homelessness problem, keep our young and our well-trained workers in Ireland, protect our tourism trade and corporate Ireland with all its revenue, and give people disposable income to support local businesses. These policies are national, but they're also local. The rising tide lifts all boats. Vote for Jerry McKeever and plant the seed to kickstart the new initiative. Please check me out on my social media, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, etc.
Yeah, thanks, and for Greg. The next 2 hours here as well. All right.
Yeah, well, very much so.
Fine Gael's John McNulty. Good morning, John.
Morning, Greg. My name is John McNulty, for the listeners. Good morning. My name is John McNulty. I'm a business person. I have a Mace petrol station in Stranaller, and I'm also the Donegal Senior Ladies Football Manager. I suppose I operate a small business, as I say, and a lot of family connections across the county. I'm also a part-time farmer, I believe, as well, which I think is important when you're with the grassroots as well. Also, I'm deeply involved in sport. I know the value organisations like the Ladies Gaelic Football Association and the GAA bring to the local communities in terms of mental and physical health. I want to work hard for all our communities, including those affected by the defective concrete crisis. And I also believe that Donegal, Fine Gael returned to government, Donegal need a TD inside that government reflecting the hopes and aspirations of the people of the county.
Okay, Mary T. Sweeney Vaintu.
Okay, good morning, Greg. Good morning, listeners. My name is Mary T. Sweeney. I'm a proud Donegal woman. My career spans a variety of lecturing and three-dimensional design, auctioneering, estate agent, with a lot of rural community where I've worked with them. I have experience of working with people from across the divide. I will be fearless to speak out to achieve successful outcomes for the people of Donegal, because for some reason the people of Ireland are no longer being listened to. They don't have the same freedom to express their concerns without being labelled one way or another. Government parties, they've not been listening to the people, as we've seen in the recent referenda. A founder member of Aintu, very proud that we started Aintu almost 6 years ago. It's a new party led by Padraig Tobin, and he's been tireless in the Dáil, standing up for the concerns of the people across Ireland. I'm chairwoman of the Letterkenny Hospital Action Committee to highlight the concerns in our HSE and our health board, which all needs restructured. I've been highlighting the crumbling homes from the start, and accountability is a word that's no longer used by the Irish government. We need to put it back in and start holding people to account.
Okay, and last, just for this round table of introductions, Piers Doherty of Sinn Féin.
Greg, I guess Míle Buíochas, Go Mhic an Seó. I'm Piers Doherty. I'm a sitting TD, and in this election, I'm asking people to re-elect me to the Dáil, not just as a TD, but I want to be serving in the next government. Sinn Féin want to lead the next government. I want to be the Minister for Finance. And I have four young boys at home. Some of them now are in their late teens, and I see them looking and worrying about their future. I see this county as a forgotten county by successive governments, and I want to put an end to that. So not only do I want people to have a TD here in the county, I want them to have a finance minister, because I will be the person that will make the money available for 100% redress end-to-end scheme on like any other party that can lead the next government. I will be the minister who will make sure that the cost of living issues are dealt with, so that we can have, for example, abolition of the USC for the first €45,000 that people pay in their wages, that we can have childcare at €10 a day, that we actually don't proceed with what Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are planning, which is to jack up the price of petrol and diesel every single year up until 2030. And I am the minister that would stop the waste. So I'm asking people to put your faith in not only me, but the Sinn Féin team here. Let us lead the next government. Let us show you what we can do. Let us end the domination of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, who've had 100 years and have resulted in this county being forgotten and people like my children having less hope than they should have.
All right, well, let's start with health. You would know that the consultants here in Letterkenny and other healthcare advocates launched a five-point plan. They're demanding election candidates to commit to real improvements in local healthcare. So I suppose I'll start with you, Piers, if that's okay. You know, a lot of people listening today don't believe that the solution to our health crisis is chucking money in it, right? So how would you, or how would Sinn Féin, genuinely improve the health service here in Donegal, reduce wait times, get people through the system more quickly? How do you achieve that in government?
Well, let me say this, Greg, because and I have huge respect for everybody who's standing in this election, regardless of if whether they're independent or for political parties. But what we see in our hospital here isn't a result of the nurses or the doctors who work in there. It is because of political decisions that have either underfunded or have created recruitment embargoes in terms of that hospital. And we see that very, very real right here, right now. I was canvassing in Gidor, and there's a young nurse here who can't get a permanent contract. I was out in Ballybuffet, and there's a physiotherapy who physiotherapists who've moved back to the county who can't get a permanent contract in this area. There's 400 families right across this county who can't get home health packages because this government have placed an embargo. Now, think about those families. These are people, in some cases, that are in a hospital who are medically discharged but can't go home because there's no package there.
Let me ask you in relation to that. Why are there no additional hours for home care packages in Donegal, but there's no waiting list for that service in Dublin? Like, what is the problem there that you fix? So, because the people you talk of and the examples you give, they're the people listening. They know that, right? So what is the problem that Donegal has no extra hours? You can get home care straight away in Dublin. That's a problem. How do you fix it in government?
Well, first of all, what you do is you don't put in place an embargo. You don't place them in embargo. Remember who these people are. These are people who may have had an operation in hospital, who may be sick, who may be recovering from cancer, who want to be home with their loved ones and they need a bit of extra support. They don't want to be in a nursing home, they don't want to be in the hospital and they're fit to be at home. And Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have placed an embargo which have left 400 families in a situation where they're at. So the first thing you do, Greg, you don't place an embargo on home help hours. You also do
but
not...
But there's no embargo in Dublin.
Because the need is not as great as in Donegal. What we have in Donegal, which is really, really good, and we should try and continue it. More of our people are cared for at home than they are in nursing homes. We have a lower percentage of our communities in nursing homes, and that's really important because it's actually okay. cost effective as well, and that's why it is. So there was a certain amount of hours allocated to Donegal, and because people needed those hours, we have a situation now where people. Really what they're having to do, and this is absolutely terrible, is they have to wait for somebody to pass away. They have to wait for
quite
a neighbour to die.
And it's absolutely ridiculous. And also it leaves people in an acute hospital that shouldn't be there. Pat the Cope Gallagher, this is something you've referenced yourself, right? Okay, so, I mean, your government has been, or your party has been in power for quite some time, and this situation persists. Is it a bit of dual speak, or might the electorate think it's a little dual speak when you've highlighted home care as one of the big issues in the health service, but you're running for a party that sort of, some might say, is responsible for the situation we find ourselves in right now. So what will change next time round?
First of all, let me tell the listeners, while I'm running for a party, I will not be bound by party rules. I will speak out on behalf of the people of Donegal. And, of course, the home help hours, I have had an exchange of communications with Minister Simon Donnelly regarding this when some of those that I hope to represent in the future have been told you cannot get home help until such time as someone passes on. So we have a substantial increase in home help hours, but I'm not saying that that's enough. This home help should be demand-led. And not otherwise. And we must ensure that additional funding is provided because those who are providing the home help are ensuring that those who are in hospital, medically discharged, they can get home, they can be looked after there. But now it's a disastrous situation when people are waiting until someone dies. It's not good enough and it's not acceptable.
And just
so
one
therefore
question.
We must now again just say we must increase the hours and to say that the those in Department Fell would say Donegal have had a substantial increase in home help hours. Not much telling somebody in Dunlow you have to wait until somebody dies in Gweedore or mm-hmm. elsewhere. Not this is something which I won't accept. And furthermore, it's causing a backup in the hospitals. Those who are medically discharged cannot get out.
And if there was a study done on this,
these people are saving the country millions and millions.
This election is really important and we need to be honest. Yeah. It's a Fianna Fáil minister, Pat, and you have never, ever voted against Fianna Fáil in your life in the Dáil. Like, these are budget decisions that you have supported in your time of 40 years in politics, which has resulted in Donegal being the forgotten county. So these families, it's grand talking about them here in Highland Radio, but when you go up to Dublin, these decisions are taken by your party colleague, the Minister for Health, which has left Letterkenny completely underfunded. People waiting 27 hours in A&E.
Our consultants and our GPs coming out saying
that this hospital is in serious trouble. And that is a result not of individuals. And what we don't need need is people talking out. We need action. We need government to act, and that's the problem here.
Now,
I just said, Pierce, that this must be demand-led, and if it's demand-led...
But your party won't do it.
You're standing for Fianna Fáil, Pat. You must remember... Hold on. In the last 15 years, I've only been in the Dáil 4.5 years out of those 15 years, and I was never afraid to speak up.
And you voted every time for them.
But you voted every time for Sinn Féin.
I voted,
You know how the political system operates, Pierce, and there's no point in trying to...
I do, Pat.
This is political opportunism by you attacking me.
No.
I always... And you never abstain from any votes by Sinn Féin.
I will always vote for additional investment in Donegal. I will always vote for additional investment in our healthcare. You can't say the same thing because you voted for budgets that underfunded the hospital.
Okay.
So when we're talking to patients there that can't get treatment, the reason is because of Fianna Fáil policies.
That's the reality, Pat. Brilliant stuff.
I will get everybody in on this. Jerry McKeever, independent. Okay, I mean, I just want this to be solution focused as well, right? Because everyone knows the problems, and a lot of these debates, and I'm not saying people can't do that, but it's about what we all know, what needs to be done, how we need to fix it, right? So people want to know, if you're elected as an independent, okay, what do you believe that you could do to fix some of the problems in the healthcare that's been discussed so far?
Going from that angle, if I get elected, I would intend to find group, maybe new independents possibly, who will have a new vision to do things differently, I will align myself maybe with a group who will do things right. Talking about this argument between the two boys, the two men here, you know, there's a lot of emotion involved, of course, but from a point of view of a government basically has to do the sums. They need, I suppose, in a sense, put the empathy and the concern aside, do the sums, make sure the sums are done right. And from my point of view, at the end of the day, for someone to go home and have a home help or care well paid, this is always going to be cheaper than a hospital bed. You know, and you can look at it from all sorts of angles, but this is the government's job to make sure the books are balanced. This is what they do. And from another angle, you know, the Scandinavian countries get it right. Why do we not cherry pick? Why do we not find out whether a country's doing properly and cherry pick and do those things right? You know, I'll take another minute just. I want to be fairly concise, Greg. I know there's a lot to do. Many of you here will remember the Jerry Robinson programme that was made in the 90s on the BBC. A three-parter, I think. He went down to Rotherham Hospital, which was dysfunctional. He went in and he fixed the hospital in a space of 3 months. Yes, he spoke to management, unions, etc., workers. Through basic respect, common sense and business acumen, he sorted it out. And a year later, he went back to see that it was still working. And it was still working. Mm-hmm. The NHS then used that as a template to fix it. And up until 10 years ago, the NHS was probably regarded as one of the greatest health givers in the world. Now, basically, we need someone in government who's going to be a Minister of Health, who has decency, who has respect, who can tackle these problems, who maybe has people under him, who know what they're doing. We need to get this sorted out. We need respect for unions, respect for workers. And maybe people say it's not the money. And I've heard a few candidates speaking about the fact that it's not the money. You give more money to Letterkenny Hospital, they will outsource work and make it even a lesser hospital. It's not the money. We need to get people in there who give a damn, who want to get it right and sort it out. Hope it's concise enough for you, Greg.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
I don't want to dominate the mic.
I don't feel like we've got a history, but we don't. That's all good. Mary T. Sweeney of Ain't Too. Again, we know the problems. What's the solutions?
The solution is you mustn't take this as a single strand. This is a multi-tier strand. One of the things we have neglected to mention is the management of the hospital. If it was a private business, would you allow those that are still managing the hospital to manage it? We need to change that. There are main things that enter.
Can I just say one thing about the manager? Because I'm very
not
conscious
the manager.
Of
I didn't
no,
say manager.
The management. Sorry, I misspoke. You didn't. Like, we had the consultants on about the 5-point plan, right? Equitable funding, implementation of Model T3 surgical hub for Donegal. And I asked about the management, and they said it's not the management's issue here. They're plugging away trying to get funding and putting the applications in and all that type of stuff. Like, would you accept that? It seems that the healthcare advocates are happy enough with how it's managed locally, but you wouldn't be?
Well, I've talked to consultants and I've talked to consultants and asked them why they've left. And they said, because there's a lack when you knock at a manager's door to get support, as in the management of the hospital, that door's not opening and that door's not working.
Okay, go on to the other points you're going to make. Sorry, Mary T.
You're flitting over something that's very important, and that's the carers situation. Carers are saving this state $20 billion on estimate a year. That is a phenomenal resource. And we need to enforce the fact that we have to really prioritise the number of people in our communities that are actively working as carers and give them the support they need that will reduce the people that are in hospital and what they call bed blockers. There's only 16 when I looked last year that were long-term bed blockers over 6 months, but 16 is 16 beds too many. Okay, I have a stat for it here somewhere, but that's the reality of it. Going back to the
issue... Of course, we have people in waiting 10 days for a scan who effectively are taken up in an acute hospital bed. Sorry, continue, Mary T, briefly.
The reality is 35,000 management and administrative staff work within the HSE. That's one in four. We want to remove some of the top, as they retire, remove some of the top tier management, and we need to review and assess what is the best way forward from a management point of view. Okay. The next thing is, number two for me, is we also need to improve the workforce planning. Currently, over half of all undergraduate medical students in Irish universities are from outside the EU. I have three children, all of them in healthcare. I am listening to this from three different perspectives in healthcare every day of the week, basically. And they tell me from the inside what's missing. I have like somebody working with a dementia unit at the moment, and the elderly Irish patients can't understand because of the language barrier. These are basic issues we have to deal and address as well. You know, we've got to look at what's going on in our hospitals. We've got to recruit staff that we can retain. So we need to incentivize them to retain them. One of the things we've done an aim to is Operation Shamrock, which we want to extend to bring the construction and the nursing and that to make it affordable. In the 70s in Ireland, in Letterkenny, we had hospitals that had accommodation for student nurses and for families, all in close proximity, walking distance to Letterkenny Hospital. We have half of St Connell's lying empty over there. We should be providing student accommodation, which I've been crying for 5 years over there.
All right, go on briefly. I need to bring others in. Go ahead, Mary Tate.
The cost of employing an extra nurse or midwife in the Irish public health sector in the future is costed at $76,148. We need 3,500 new nurses and midwives, and that would cost the state $259 million. That's the sort of investment we need. And the sad thing is there were three unions from Letterkenny Hospital stood on the street this week outside the hospital to protest about the strain that they're under, really, and the lack of resources that they have. And I was there, and Frank joined me there.
Okay.
And that was what we saw on the street.
Arthur McGuinness?
Yes, Greg, actually, believe it or not, I am a cancer patient. Ansher Magna consultant, Maria, right? But I can't get a bed. I have home help, right? He got me that, right? Because I can't get a bed at all there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a right mess in there, Kenny. I'm sure I had to wait about two, five hours. It was a long waiting.
Yeah, okay, I can imagine. And Frank O'Donnell, Independent, you recognise the problems. What do you see as the solutions?
Well, I'm solution-focused, always have been, and always will be. We know the problems. That's not a funding problem, Greg, in the Letterkenny University Hospital, by any means. It's management problems. I mean, I heard what you said, that you think it's... I work there. I know what it's like. So the solutions would be, we hire people and we pay them very well. As politicians or would-be politicians, it's not our job to tell people how to run a health system. We pay them big bucks to do so. And if they're not capable of doing it, then step aside and let somebody else come in and do it. We can't go on like this much longer. People are suffering. You listen to Arthur's story here. That I could say that 100 times. Arthur, maybe not in the cancer care programme, but in every other aspect. Arthur, I accept what you're saying. What I don't accept is a service being provided for patients that come to the hospital or come to any health institution and ask for help. They're not getting it at an appropriate time. So, honestly, if elected, I would ask for a full review of our hospital. Just a full review of it, because we are losing, we're not getting the appropriate consultants to the hospital for what different reasons. I could give a multitude of reasons why they're not coming, but I know, and I referenced one case in a radio station I was asked to look into, and what I found out about it was unacceptable to me, that if you have a neurological problem in Donegal, well, you'll have to be on a waiting list exactly 2.5 years to see a consultant, because we don't have a neurologist in Letterkenny, but we do have 3 in Sligo. So we have a bigger population than Sligo and Leitrim combined together, and we still don't have... This is the kind of service...
OK, and just one question. If elected, who would you work with? You know, say, for instance, Sinn Féin looking to form a government, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael. Is there any party you wouldn't work with, that you wouldn't take a position in government to try and move things forward here?
Well, we all know, we all have to look at what the red lines are. But if it's for Donegal...
You'll work with any of them?
Anybody, I'd work with anybody.
All right. John McNulty of Fine Gael, a caller, says, as a HSE employee, I couldn't agree more with Mary and others. Management and meetings taking over, meetings about meetings, not much follow-up or action. You know, so there's that part of it. And then there's also the fact that the hospital runs sometimes in certain areas in office hours, right? So is it necessarily about, is it about money? But how do you unravel the mess of the HSE then? Because to be honest with you, an awful lot of this feels like we're not going anywhere.
Yeah, well, I see, Greg, as a businessman, I would just have to say, you know, first off, when I run my business, it has to run, and it's run from top to bottom to make it work, to generate the profit and be able to do that. So, I mean, there's 100 million put into the hospital in Letterkenny since 2019 to now. So, as you can see, and a lot of the people around the table have mentioned that it's not a funding problem. So you have to look
at... Well, much of that is wages and pay increases.
Yeah, yes,
and
of course.
Well, that doesn't help anyone on a hospital bed, does it?
No, I mean, it doesn't. Well, what I'm saying to you on that there is that you have to look at the structures. You have to make it as efficient as possible. Mm. So we have to...
Is that part of your party's policies? Is your party looking to reform the HSE? Because it doesn't matter if you want it, right? You're part of a party that's looking to get back into government. Is it your party's view that reform of the health service is needed?
Well, I mean, people make the party at the end of the day. And as I'm representing Fine Gael here, people make the party. So if I was elected as a TD in Donegal and went forward to Dublin, it's the people that represent that party that make that party and make decisions for the party. So as one of them, yeah, I would be looking for reform that. And what you're doing is Frank mentioned before, solutions. Mm. And I will say this, and I just wanted to say on it, is look, my own mum had the home help as well, and they're 3 times a day. And it was brilliant, and really, really brilliant. And the staff doing that are excellent. And the big thing is that we need to increase that as much as possible. Now, I do see from talking to people in it that there is problem maybe actually trying to retain staff is a big problem, and maybe even to try and get staff to do that job. And we're probably an economy that's in full employment as well at the minute, and that doesn't help to the fact of there's so many options of jobs.
I don't think there's many people leaving working in a restaurant on minimum wage in Donegal town to go and work as a consultant at Letterkenny University Hospital though.
No, I'm talking about the home help, Greg.
Yeah,
I'm talking about the home help.
Or even in that regard,
yeah,
okay.
Well, I'm talking about home help, yeah.
So 13 years at this point, do you see anything in the party that you're standing for that might suggest that it's not going to be more of the same, that something different is going to happen, that the people of Donegal under a Fine Gael-led government going forward, separate to what's happened in the past, could enjoy a fully funded, functional hospital?
Yeah, well, I think it is funded. That is one thing that we say it is funded. It's the rest of it, what I would say under Fine Gael, is to make the
OK, a couple of people wanted to come back in this, Piers Doherty.
Yeah, look, there is absolutely issues in how the hospital is run. There's no doubt about that there in terms of management, and all of this has to be dealt with. But let's nail the lie here. There is an issue in terms of funding. Why are 400 people waiting for home help hours? Like, talk to the people in the HSE working in this county. They want to provide those packages for individuals. The management of the hospital want those patients back home so that the bed becomes available. It is a funding issue. These two parties, Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, have placed an embargo on home help hours in this county. Why can the nurse who's in Brisbane not come back to Donegal? Because there's an embargo. It is a funding issue. So let's nail this. Like, yeah. So what is the solution here, Greg? The solution, the 5-point plan that the health professionals have said, we have fully signed up to that in Sinn Féin. Our commitment is to make the necessary investment. We need additional beds in that hospital. Overall, we will provide 5,000 additional beds right across the state and 2,000 community beds. We will provide 40,000 additional staff working in our hospitals to make sure that not only, because we're focused on the hospital here, but look at the CDNT networks. Like, well, that's not an act of God again.
We're going to come to that in a moment.
It's absolutely appalling what is happening in terms of disability
services. But in fairness,
and the solutions can be found. So double the number of places in terms of our colleges and universities in terms of training, provide a bursary for people to actually train, and ensure that the embargo is lifted so that people can come back to Donegal and actually get the place, and people who are qualified can get a job guarantee, one thing that Sinn Féin is offering all healthcare workers.
Right, Mary T, then Pat the Cope, and then Charlie wants to come back in, and then we'll take a break and move on. Mary T Sweeney.
The reality is, because of my concerns about the hospital, I founded the Letterkenny Hospital Action Committee, and from that we had three public meetings. And at one of the public meetings, it was in the Mount Errigal Hotel, and people told their stories. And it was absolutely heartbreaking, some of the personal accounts that were relayed at that, and they were covered by the independent media at that time, the Irish Independent. And what ANTU want to do is to reduce the use of agency staff in the HSE by 20% for each of the next 5 years, which will save in the region of 123 million. Okay? This is a big problem. It's the reliance on agency staff. We also need to seek to employ an additional 400 consultants, which will cost 88 million. And it's how to achieve that and how to make it lucrative enough that they will come and stay in Donegal. And the other thing that I wanted to talk about is to seek to change the funding of the health service to a patient engagement model, where a patient receives an operation or a treatment or an engagement or a consultation, the state will pay the provider. So each section, we believe that this will increase the flow of government expenditure to the front line and reduce the whole of the layers of management staff within the health service.
Okay.
Now, one other thing that must be remembered is I have families around County Donegal that have travelled into A&E in Letterkenny and have ended up getting disheartened and left and driven straight to Galway on numerous occasions to attend or to Beaumont. That this is the reality for many families.
Okay,
this
I get
is
you.
Not acceptable.
Pat Cole-Callagher, do you think funding is an issue down at the hospital?
Of course it's an issue, and the extra services cannot be provided without the additional funding. And I would recommend, and I've done this many times, an evaluation of efficiency operation and sourcing new services. So funding will be required to do that. But if I were looking at this objectively and listening to this programme, I would think nothing good is happening.
Yeah, but can I just say with respect to that, we platform that all of the time, but we can't have seven people sitting around a table sort of celebrating what's good. There's so much is good, but we're focusing on the patient's experience where it's not good, Pat.
That might be so, but the impression shouldn't go out from here today by any of us that not a lot has been done in Letterkenny. Excellent work has been provided.
But if you say
there.
That to a 79-year-old who's just done R14 in the ED.
You have to allow me to continue.
Yeah, it's teasing out with you.
Well, if you want to go on with it.
Go ahead.
But I want to.
Go ahead, Pat. Finish your point.
Exceptional work has been done there. When we look at the rehab in Letterkenny, it's comparable to the one in Dunleary. So we need extra services there, and we must ensure that we have stepped down into our community hospitals, who are also doing exceptional work. And the five-point plan by Dr. Keating and Dr. Sugru is, I believe, supported by all of us. But we have done a lot over the last number of years nationally, but we have to focus in on Donegal, and my focus will be, as it always has been, and I would just remind the listeners that the services that have been made available now in Altnagelvin Hospital, I was very much part of that. Mm-hmm. When I met with Minister McGimpsey, when I was Minister of State in the Department of Health, together with Mary Carney, we provided the additional funding and we are able to secure services there. So something good has been done, but there's a lot more to do, as we said in the past, and I will be working towards that if I'm re-elected.
Charlie, you want us to go back in there? Charlie McGimpsey? Sorry, beg your pardon. I'm doing this again. Jerry McKeever.
That's your metal block, Greg. I get them all the time.
It's it's my fault. Sorry, Jerry.
An excuse to me, I'm a wee bit older than you are.
just a touch.
Looking again at that, I want to go back to the big picture. Of course, you know, we talk about the five-point plan. Really, those doctors are only looking for what we should already have. You know, the government really, they shouldn't be talking about correcting it now. Why has it not been corrected in the previous years? They're only looking for what we should already have. Looking at the big picture again, 22 nurses had a going away party in the Orchard last year, who just qualified up here. You know, we need to look at the nurses, how they've been treated. You know, we need to keep our own well-trained people in general in this country, not just nurses. So looking at the big picture again, we've got to look at that.
Mary, to your brief response, because we do have to move on.
One of the things I must state very clearly is I could take you and introduce you to the staff that are excellent at their jobs in Letterkenny Hospital and the consultants that are excellent and run a really timely, efficient service. And they should not be forgotten. That is correct. They should be praised. But when they can do it in certain areas of Letterkenny Hospital, that means that areas should be
doing. To Pat, as you understand, we're limited on time, right? So it's notwithstanding the amazing... Yeah. But we spend every day in the show pointing out that...
In our committee, we put pressure on. We got arrangements that there was to be an external review of Letterkenny Hospital to gain confidence to bring in the team from Scotland. They never came. What happened to that team? We need the external review because I don't have confidence that we can do it independently in this country.
And just to be fair on this, Frankie, do you want to come back in briefly? Yeah.
There's maybe a perception, and maybe I'm taking it up wrong here, but the staff in Letterkenny University Hospital, they're the best staff I've ever worked with. It's not the staff. I firmly believe the funding is not a problem down there. I don't care what anybody says around the table here.
Can I just pull you up on that, right?
Yes, go ahead.
If funding's not a problem, why do we receive significantly less funding than Sligo Hospital, for an example?
Well, I've answered that question previously. It's a management problem.
I know you've been involved with the Gale up until recently, but Sligo have a kitchen sink to throw over there as well. Let me just make this point.
You can't blame politics with people's health. That's what you're doing.
I'm not. I'm asking a question.
You're not. You interrupted me.
Can I ask you a question?
No, you won't ask me a question. Don't interrupt.
This is
people.
Supposed to be a debate.
I didn't interrupt you.
I think, Frank, people, the listener might be interested, though, if different views are challenged. I think that might be helpful as they decide to vote.
Well, be courteous to let me. I think it's out of common decency to let somebody complete their statement without being interrupted. There were plenty of opportunities. I would say we're here for 2 hours. You don't have to interrupt somebody.
Okay, go ahead, Frank, with your point then, and then I'll bring Pierce back in briefly before the break.
People are saying it's a funding problem. It's not a funding problem. It's a management problem.
It's a management problem.
And if you, we have an Apple One Fall at our disposal of nearly 14 billion. So how and anybody in this air thinks we
so if that's the case, why is Letterkenny so significantly underfunded compared to Sligo per patient? So are you saying are you saying Sligo patients have too much money?
No, I'm not saying that.
It's a bigger problem.
I mean, we're going around. Mm. We are not making proper representation.
I'm just trying to get through to the listener, Frank, and I hope people don't think I'm being awkward here. You say funding's not an issue, so either Letterkenny Hospital is underfunded, or Sligo's overfunded, or Donegal deserve less.
We and Donegal get less everywhere. We're the last to get any funding. That's government policy to leave Donegal out. We don't have a strong enough voice in this county to fight for extra funding. We shouldn't have to fight. We're coming down with money.
Do you agree, Pat the Coat, with him? Because, I mean, obviously, you know, there's two government reps here, but, I mean, do you agree with what Frank is saying, that we are underfunded in Donegal, that we're ignored by governments?
You know, that's a throwaway remark that we hear time and time again. And sometimes I wonder, you know, when we hear nothing's happening in Donegal, I don't have time to go through all of what we've done over the years, but we're focusing on health. And I'm more than anxious that Donegal gets positive discrimination when it comes to this. And can I also say that there are many services being provided in Sligo at the moment, when I think of ophthalmic and other services, and people have to travel there. It's much easier for the consultants there to come here than all of our people going to Sligo. So all of this could be dealt with in a review that should be carried out sooner rather than later.
Pierce, you wanted to come back in there briefly.
Yeah, look, I just want to make the point, you can't blame management for the underfunding of the hospital. Like, you just can't. Sligo, Donegal, Letterkenny has 50% more inpatients than Sligo, and we get the same budget. That is a funding issue coming from the very, very top. As I said, the reason there is 400 people on waiting lists is a funding issue. They don't have the money. If the money was there, it's not management. I know these people. They want these packages.
Okay, if it's not management, should operations and services not be provided on Saturdays and Sundays as well?
Absolutely.
But they're not.
But
are you going to take on the consultants and the unions and get the hospital running?
There has to be a 7 day a week in terms of discharges and operations. Absolutely, we need to be using.
So how are you going to make that happen?
By
because the consultants are going into private. They're
by negotiating. meeting with your consultants in relation to in relation to your contracts. And all of that, as I said, management has to be dealt with. There's no doubt about it, but they also need funding. We need additional capacity. We need additional staff. We need additional beds in that hospital. And to suggest anything otherwise is not true. And it's far. It's the problem here is this, in this county, it is ordinary patients, mothers, fathers, that have to come out on the streets. Pat mentioned cancer care in Aetna Kelvin. It was 15,000 ordinary people across the state that had to take to the streets and demand that government take action in relation to that. It is the parents of children with disabilities and special needs who are campaigning, giving up their time over and over again to say it's not fair what's happening to their children. It's not fair what's happening to their families. We have about two-thirds of the teams absolutely empty, and children are growing up without the services.
Okay, listen, we'll give an opportunity to come back on that stuff. I think I got everyone in. I got you in twice as well, Jerry. We'll be back with more after these. Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show as we continue our first election debate of election 24. Pierce, you know, people will have heard, you know, anytime an issue comes up, be it the hospital, or defective concrete or what have you, that, you know, your party seems to say, right, we'll commit to fix that. And we read at the weekend, according to Trinity College report, an €85 billion hole in Sinn Féin's budgeting. I mean, obviously you're the spokesperson on finance. €85 billion of a hole in your financial plan. That means you can't deliver everything you're promising.
No, that's not what I said, Greg. That was a paper. Was it the Sunday Business Post? Was it?
Yes.
Or the Sunday Business Post, which said that there was a €56 billion hole in Fianna Fáil's and 54 in Fine Gael's and 85 in ours, because we're obviously spending more capital to fix the housing crisis. But that is premised on the idea that all of the corporation tax or majority of it would disappear and the income tax associated with it. That's not credible, and it would disappear right now, the whole lot of it. What all of the parties are doing is they're basing their manifestos on the Department of Finance, and the Department of Finance measures risk, and they've identified the budgetary packages that are available for the next 5 years. So our current and expenditure and tax plans are within that package, and our capital expenditure
is based
on one-off.
Do you anticipate, given Donald Trump now soon to be the President of the United States, how big an impact do you believe that will have on corporation input or intake?
I think we shouldn't be painting up a doomsday scenario in relation to this here. We have to be very mindful of our trading partners, and the US is our largest trading partner outside of the EU. So we have to be mindful of that. But Donald Trump has been in the White House before. He's also signalled out Ireland during his previous term in the White House, and our corporation tax during that time increased by 60%. So what we need to do is, the biggest risks that we have, Greg, and the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council tell us this, the Competitiveness Council tell us this, the biggest risk we have to the Irish economy is infrastructure. We're not investing in housing in the appropriate levels. We're not investing in our water and our energy infrastructure, and that's why Sinn Féin has a plan to fix the housing crisis. Again, not an act of God. This was man-made policy that decided not to build the houses at scale. We are going to not only build the houses that are required to make sure that young people have a future here.
Okay, before bringing other people in on that, how do you do that in Donegal, right? So you got national figures, national plans. You know, we're restricted where we can build because of planning here. The water infrastructure, the sewage infrastructure, the power infrastructure is not where it needs to be at. Anyone who's looking to get a little bit of work done on the house, there's no one to do the work for. You were on this program before and you said contractors were laying employees off, that their staffing is not an issue. Everyone else disagrees with you. So how do you deliver? How do you deliver what you're claiming to deliver in the environment that I've just laid out?
First of all, we in preparation of our housing policy, which runs to over 100 pages, very detailed policy of how we'll build the houses and how we'll make them affordable at prices of 250,000 to 300,000, and how we'll deliver social housing at scale. We met with those that are build the houses, that do the work, and it was them that told us, Greg, that because of the issues, because of the backlogs, because of the uncertainty, that some of them have had to lay people off. We have more people working in the construction sector now.
So how many houses might be delivered in Donegal over 5 years?
So for example, you asked me, but let me make this point. We've more people working in the construction sector now than we had during the Celtic Tiger period, but we're delivering a fraction of the houses.
Yeah,
so we need to reorient them.
How many houses might be delivered in Donegal?
Well, the Donegal makes up about 4% of the population.
We're in Donegal, so it makes it a pertinent question.
Let me give you an example. We've had 14 years of Fine Gael. We've had, 5 years of Fianna Fáil and another 4 years where they were back.
Are you not deflecting a bit onto others rather than answering?
And we've had not one affordable house built in this county.
So how many will Sinn Féin
So for example, 4% of 31,500 is about 1,600 affordable houses in this county. Okay. So that's the proportion in relation to it. But you also mentioned the issue of challenging and planning. Like last week I raised, and I'm sick, sore and tired of doing this because this is a political issue again, of the challenges that people have in this county of getting planning. The N56, for example, is a no-go area for people being able to plan, get planning on. And I have countless people who are looking to come home, who are want to live in their local area and can't get planning. The N56 running from Donegal right into Letterkenny through the west is the spine of our county, and we still won't get action. I had a debate in the Dáil this year just 3 weeks ago asking the government to take action with the TII, and still it's falling on deaf ears. So there are things that Sinn Féin will change if we lead the next government.
John McNulty of Fine Gael, your party, you heard Piers Doherty there, hasn't delivered anything really in terms of social affordable housing in Donegal. Do you think that will change? Do you recognise that that's an issue?
I think that is already changing. I think, I mean, I've been throughout the county on my canvas trail. I've seen it in Gaedore, I've seen it in Castlefin, I've seen it in Killybegs. I've seen it, and you know, at the real reason, you have to look at the whole context. He's talked about maybe 13 years in government or whatever it was. I mean, we came in at an awful time. It was after the country was bankrupt. There's no point saying anything different. And it took a long time. And if you talked about building a house right then, well, they would be putting, they'd be signing you in because there was housing estates laying everywhere, absolutely everywhere. And that was a big issue, and everybody was fleeing the country. So that started then. So when you look at that, and when we were bankrupt, and where we've come today, I'd be very, very proud of Fine Gael's record of where they've come from on the economy and how. Yes, surely we would have a housing had to be built, surely, and it probably got away. We had different things with COVID, materials increased. There's all that as well. So when we look at it, Fine Gael are looking to build 60,000 houses now per year over the next 5 years. That's where we're looking at doing. And on top of that, 50% of it is going rural. And, you know, when you look at all those things, that's the plan. Now, what I would say is, and when I was down and I was talking and I was down in the thinking, we spoke about it and we talked about what was real, the real reason is. And again, money, funding, it's not the real issue here. The skill shortages is the big issue here. And I actually called for it to be on the critical list of Irish for people to come in with those trades to come in here. But realistically, that means we can probably go to the high 30s, maybe to 40,000.
But how many? I mean, if it's not funding, right, and if it's staffing is an issue, would we not expect to see, hundreds upon hundreds of housing in the planning process in Donegal, social housing, affordable housing, you know, if that, it wasn't about money, where are those applications?
Well, I believe that is on its way. Hold on a second, Pierce. Let me finish.
That's fine, but it is also a debate.
It is a debate.
Yeah.
Just to make this point, well, there is, because you made the point that you're seeing this all over the place. You're seeing some social housing, and they're few and far between. And we've been in the centre of actually trying to get some of them off the ground. But there is not one affordable house in this county, and there's not one planned either. John, so you have to be completely and utterly honest with the public. 14 years of Fine Gael in government and not one affordable house is being planned for this
country. I want to give you a chance to come back on that, John.
I'm disagreeing, Pierce. That is happening,
no,
and it
fact.
Is happening. And I'm looking at it saying, right, I mean, you look at those places in Gaedore and Castlefin, and their social housing.
There'll be affordable housing
as well.
But you can't buy a social housing.
Yeah.
Affordable housing is for people who can't get, who are earning too much for social housing and can't afford the fact that Fianna Gael and Fianna Fáil have pushed up house prices in this county by 15.3% in the last year alone. It's out of reach.
Finish your point, John, so I'll move on.
Because it's about supply and demand as well. I understand that. So when you have a supply, when your demand is what it is and your supply is short, you're going to have natural increase in prices. That's another factor. And that's nothing to do with government. That's the way that the economy works as well.
I just want to make the point, when I said finish your point, I wasn't trying to speed you on. Yeah. I was saying you now have an opportunity to defend, just
right,
in case
that's
you.
Fine, that's fine.
No, in
I
mean, case
what,
it came across
I'm saying,
that I was,
as the Fine Gael government, I was just saying, look, we're putting that there's a 30,000 they have to buy scheme, and there's a 70,000 the property vacant grant. That's up to 100,000 as well.
Yeah, but you've just said staffing is an issue, and that means you said skills shortage is the issue. So really, mean those schemes are.
We're looking to improve all that.
Okay.
And that's what it is.
Yes. Now, Jerry McKeever.
Great. Thanks, Greg. I wanted to interrupt John there because he said, 60,000 houses a year. Pierce is quite right. Without the infrastructure, it's not going to happen. Many developers have said we make 30,000 houses built next year if we're lucky. Between planning procedures and the planning objection system we have in this country and the fact that the infrastructure isn't there, we're not going to do it. You mentioned Donald Trump. We can't worry about what Donald Trump's going to do. we have to worry what we're doing. I think a lot of people have an idea where the ARPA money should go. The ARPA money can't be built into the budget every year. The ARPA money should be used for one-off major spend to help the country. Yeah. And that should be infrastructure. Yeah. We must build infrastructure. We, by 2030, data centres will eat all our electricity. Corporate America will leave if we're going to be regarded as a third world country infrastructurally, if we don't have water to give them, we don't have electricity, affordable homes.
But this, in terms of staying positive, we just had a very significant announcement from Abbott, and there was another company just before the budget that announced the creation of jobs. Mm. The name's escaped me just at the moment. Yeah. So there still must be some faith in us. We're not seen as a third world economy or anything.
In time, Greg, I'm talking about in time. I mean, our grid is not capable of doing the work it's supposed to do already. They're talking about rolling blackouts before 2030. You know, Donald Trump may not be president in 4 years' time. I don't think American companies are going to jump on what he says immediately.
Right, no, that's good. You know. That's good. I want to bring everyone in, but John, you wanted to come back in there and say you did.
Well, I just wanted to comment on Trump. I think we have to take that serious as a country. We have to take, because we are so, the direct.
Would it help then? Would it not help if Simon Harris was a little bit more friendly towards Trump?
I think
quite outspoken.
I'm sure he's had a conversation with him. I'm sure that they'll get on
the way to Donegal, funny enough.